Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In the pecking order, Silverfield was pretty adamant. Like, we have four guys who we think could start
for us.
Yeah,
he's been saying that all off.
I'm not saying he's out of the competition.
He's out of here. That'll be a more transfer.
I asked this to Johns. I go, obviously in the transfer portal era, and frankly, even before the transfer portal era, we saw it with Brady. Once Brady was named the starter, by a year and a half later, everyone was gone who was competing with him. And that's, frankly, probably what will happen here. Maybe you keep Hennigan because he's a true freshman. And that was what was interesting to me is I do wonder, let's say you name Gunnell the starter and Gunnell got hurt at some point.
Depth behind him would matter.
What would be interesting would they go to Brown? Or, my sense is if it happened today, if Gunnell was a starter, happened today, got hurt, say he got hurt in the second quarter, I think in the middle of a game, you'd go to Keelan Brown
because he knows the stuff.
He's been in a game before. But it seems like they're really high on this Seth Hennigan kid. And he looked great in the spring game. He was the one guy who really looked good throwing the ball in the spring game. And obviously they had a bunch of practices other than the spring game. To make a judgment based off that. But I would say right now, though, I would go Gunnell, Brown, Hennigan, Peter Parrish. That's how I would say the pecking order into camp is.
Bad sign for Parrish's future. But this is you. You've made it clear. This is not John's. This is Mark.
This is my educated
pecking order right now.
Based on listening to him describe each quarterback,
he'll be reporting first about Parrish transferring the hill on up out of here. We'll have that first. We've held you too long. Appreciate your time, brother. Have a great show today. He is Mark Giannotto.
Smart.
Sports columnist for the Commercial Appeal. You should be reading him. You'll be smarter for it over at commercialappeal.com. Also co-host of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Highly rated Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Congrats on that. You can hear it every day from 2 to 4 right here. We'll be right back with the rundown. Going to talk Simone Biles. We're not going to get too deep into it, but I want you to hear what some other gymnasts who have been in her shoes had to say about the sort of pressure that she's facing. That and much more when we get back. Our homie John Martin going to join us at 12:25. He says he's got some news for us. We'll do that as well. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Little runaway, I was flying.
appreciate Mark Giannato. That last segment. Fortunately, I'm afraid he's right. I think Memphis is going to go under that 8.5. I've had a couple Memphis fans reach out already. Tell me, we crazy. Going to beat them dogs too, Brad.
Can't wait.
They said to let you know.
Let it fly, boys.
Damn Mississippi State fans around here. Gonna put
y'all. Where do you see them cowbells in that stadium, y'all's, that you're rebuilding?
Gonna put y'all in your place. Talking about you gonna come in here and take over.
You may have to rebuild it after they come through here.
We'll see about that. Every day at this time, we like to do the rundown. Let's go!
Now, it's the rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, everybody, some have led their shows with this news. And I'm not an expert on mental health, and I just feel uncomfortable, especially in a position that you frankly shouldn't have to be defending. It's common sense tells you that Simone Biles, in this instance, withdrawing to focus on mental well-being, we'll put it that way. I think it's best put that way and squarely put, is perfectly fine. Some have gone as far, and I think they're right. Brave. Look, the person that's going to have to live with this ain't the people that are criticizing her and saying she's let down her team or her country or whatever else you see on some of these foolish takes. The person that's going to have to live with this years from now, right now, all of it, is her. And if she decides, you know what, I can't do this. I'm not in the right mental frame right now. She should know. She's won golds for it. She's represented this country in a way that previously you'd been proud of. Now you want to, turn around and dog her out. She's been in this position before. She knows what it takes. And if she is feeling, from a mental health standpoint, unable to do it, that's completely on her. And she's the one who's going to have to look back on this and say, later on and deal with this decision. I had a chance to tie in terms of Olympic history, most gold medals, had a chance to tie it. I put that at risk and now likely gone, that chance. Unless she does I don't even think she can make it now because of the now pulling out of the individual all around where she was the favorite to win gold. She needed, I think it's 5 more to tie the all-time record for all time, not just American record, but the all-time record, which is held by the Russians, individual 9 gold medals. She had a chance. Because she's not in the right frame of mind to do it right now. She's laying that chance down to the side. That's, if she's willing to do that, we should be in a position where we're willing to support her for that.
Yes.
How is she letting you down more than she could be potentially letting herself down? And so again, and listen, that's my take, and folks have gone on about it, and we shouldn't have to again defend the, especially with where we should be right now in 2021 when it comes to mental health. Everybody wants to compare this to the Naomi Osaka situation and her pulling out of the French and then Wimbledon. And, she's been on a swimsuit cover. And what's she doing on a swimsuit cover? She can't talk to the media. And just, you are not in the minds of these athletes.
No.
And I tell you, we've all sort of gone through it. We've heard the stories. We've all got our own issues with anxiety or whatever else. We sort of put our two cents here where we say you've either had or haven't had mental health struggles, whatever it is, nervousness, anxiety. My dad used to throw up before, and excuse me for that visual, but it was the case, just about before every newscast he was ever on. For as long as that man was on television, he still got an anxiety before the show. And it's an anxiety, Brad, that, and I don't know if this is hereditary or not, that I think I feel sometimes. It doesn't send me to that point to where I'm actually physically sick like it did for my dad, but it... There is a little twin. And again, that's us. We all go through something. And if in this case she's got something in her mind that makes her think, you know what, I can't do this vault right now, in which we're not even talking about putting on a sports cast or doing a radio show. We're doing something where you could literally break your neck that threatens you if you fall the wrong way, if your foot bends the wrong way on that vault,
yeah.
Whatever it is, can be potentially career-threatening. And perhaps more, and she's saying I'm not in the right frame. That seems logical to me that if she's the one who should say I can't do it, and we should respect that. Again, how can she be letting you down or this team she's hugging and supporting? How's she letting them down more than she's letting down in this chance? She's already the GOAT, but this chance to be even more historic than she already was with winning these golds in events she was already the favorite in. Mm-hmm. And so my whole point of that is she must be going through something, guys, that frankly we can't understand. I talked about this a little bit in the open, and I put more stock in this than my experiences, with anybody else's that you hear on the radio waves or on television. It's those of gymnasts and athletes who have been in that position before, where you've got to perform at your absolute best if you're going to come through, in this case, for your nation, for an entire nation of folks that are depending on you. Brad and I can't tell you what that feels like and the stress that is involved with that, especially when we're not in the world of training 4 years, 5 years in this sense, for this opportunity, yeah. Right? All that goes into that. That's your job,
yeah.
Essentially. And then you get to that point, and sort of everything that's around, that sort of pressure that comes with that, we can't understand that. But Michaela Maroney does. She's 2012 Olympic gold medalist. And I think it's listening to her that helps us better understand, and the ones that need to understand it the most are these foolish critics, again, just trying to make a name for themselves with these silly takes that Simone lets you down. But she can tell us better what Simone is going through. It provides the perspective. And what she called it is mental blocks. She says they're a gymnast's worst nightmare, and they can end your career. She says during one of her experiences she calls them body yips. We discussed it, the term for it. She got seriously hurt, fell off the balance beam, ended up crying, had a concussion, could have been much worse. But you get those blocks and those doubts. Guys, even Olympic, even a GOAT in this sense, Simone Biles, even Olympians, all of us in all walks of life have doubts. I'll be real honest with you. I told you about my dad's experience almost all through his life about that anxiety would get before sportscasts and newscasts and doing stories. I get, mine is not to that extent physically, where I'm physically ill like my dad was, but I got to be honest with you. Every time, just about every time, it's been 5 years now we've been doing a radio show. Hell, just about every time before I wrote a story, okay, 13 years of the Commercial Appeal. And this is just me. Maybe it's not you at all. And if it is, you are absolutely blessed. But one of the things that crosses my mind is failure. I'm going to get on that air. I'm going to be tripping over my words. And that 3 hours is going to be a mess. Okay? Or, you know what? This is a big story over at the back of the CA. You're not going to write this in the way that it needs to be written. You're going to fail. I don't know what it is about the way I'm wired, but it's that thought crosses my mind. Now, what we are taught to do, right, from the moment you start teaching these things, I guess if you're a parent, is to work through that, push through it. It's just like we said, if you don't grow unless you get uncomfortable. So push through that fear, push through that doubt. And you'll see on the other side, a lot of times, you're going to grow into something. That's where the growth comes. And you look back, and you know what? I did need to push through. This is not that. This is not something that she's never done or needs to prove to herself. She's done it before. Brad, does that make sense? And now she's at a point where she can do it again, and she doesn't feel like she can. Something's got to be going on. Something that we should have enough respect for in terms of what she's going through that we support her rather than criticize. And so again, Maroney and these gymnasts know, again, in that dangerous world of gymnastics that we just watch on television and think it's so easy for these women to come down, perfect 10, land it, boom. Right? I think it helps our perspective when we hear from these athletes that have been in her shoes. Dominique Dawes, who you remember, many of you will remember, a little bit older, obviously, than Michaela, 1996, same stuff. 1996, I think she was part of that, the team winning gold, got a gold medal, was part of the team winning. She said she felt the pressure prior to marching out in the Olympics at the Georgia Dome, had a little bit of a mental breakdown myself. I remember crying, being overwhelmed. And that's something I went through a lot during my career. And again, what they didn't in their positions, whether it's Michaela or Dominique Dawes, they weren't going through all this protocol that you've got now with COVID. You don't have your usual support system over there. I don't need to go any deeper on this because I think, again, the position shouldn't need defending. We should honor what she's going through. The fact that it's her career that, frankly, and her legacy that by not going through with this. And again, here's the other part about this. Yes, individual all around she's pulled out of. The individual events, though, that begin, I believe, next week. She's still going to consider. At this point, I don't know, though, now that you've pulled out of individual law, and shouldn't, Brad, the pulling out of the individual all around, just for those few fools in the back who are still criticizing her for letting her team or her country down, shouldn't that tell you that this is not a selfish decision?
Yes.
Because in this case, you could have not done the team, but to go on ahead where you were highly favored to win another gold as the individual all around, you could have said, oh, but I'm doing this. She didn't do that. She pulled out of the chance to win individual gold as well. So this idea of self, that should be thrown out of the window, which is frankly why we should stop with the conversation. It shouldn't need to go on any further. We should support her. You've loved her to this point in the way she's represented this country to this point. Continue to support her through this because you know something's got to be going on that's serious enough for her, again, to put her legacy, all this, everything she could have added with a historic performance in these Olympics, to set that to the side and you say, you know what, it's not worth it. It's not worth putting my career on the line. It's not worth it. I'm going to focus on me right now. And frankly, Brad, I think we should all be supporting her. I think anything to the contrary, any criticism of her at this point is frankly ridiculous because you don't know what the hell she's going through. So I would tell you to back off.
Next story.
We talked about Memphis Tigers football. We've already been through that. I had one more, though, and that is about U.S. women 3-on-3 coming through. Because yesterday we were critical of women's soccer. We were critical of men's basketball. We've been critical of our efforts so far in gymnastics, obviously with Simone Biles stepping down in the team competition. We came up second to The Rock in that. Russian Olympic Committee, by the way. It's not hope. So we had talked about our struggles early on yesterday. Now, we are still leading, I think, in medals. Now, we're not
31,
leading
31, Jason.
That's medals, not leading golds. We're third in
counting colors here.
Well, I'll tell you who
third,
helped
actually, us. We're third now in golds.
I want to shout out Stephanie Dolson, Alicia Gray, Kelsey Plum, and Jackie Young. They did what our three-on-three men could not.
Let's go, girls.
Hell, our men couldn't even qualify.
No.
These women won a gold medal in the new Olympic sport of three. Don't call it on three. Call it 3x3 if you up on your Olympic stuff in 2021 basketball. Plum scored all five of her points early. We won. Again, this is another gold for us. And hopefully some sort of sense of normalcy, Brad, of us taking back what is ours, which is basketball. We got a little bit of that. Yesterday with Memphis, how many times am I going to say Memphis instead of USA? I guess
they're representing us.
USA hammering Iran.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit of that sense back. Got Czech Republic up next. Need to see another blowout so we can all sort of feel good again about their chances of winning gold. And then, of course, we've got women's 3-on-3 winning. Mm-hmm. I suspect, Brad, the men 5-on-5 team eventually winning gold. Will sort of help us get our grip back on basketball here in the United States and in these Olympics. Guys, I don't know if you've seen the COVID numbers. Those continue to be a bad story over there as well.
Oh.
And again, everything they're going through with the protocols, we're lucky we're getting these at all.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get through them with the Olympics that are going on right now. But, yes, shout out to the U.S. Women 3x3 team winning the gold medal. One of our, what did you say, Brad? Is it 11 gold medals we've got now? 10, 11?
We have 11 golds.
One of 11 golds. One of 11 golds that we've got now.
31 total, leading all nations, including Rock.
Don't let us down, USA men. Continue to shoot the ball well. And I know what the other one we lost. We lost softball. We were supposed to win.
We lost
softball
to
Japan. That was the other thing we were on yesterday.
I did read that they're getting rid of softball for the next Olympic Games. Like, the softball might be going.
It's been on and off and on and off. They need to decide and stick with it, one or the other.
Right.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, before we get it, we're going to have John Martin here. He's going to talk about a little news going on at the University of Memphis that you need to hear about their investment in terms of what they're trying to do with Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium. I think the pitcher for Japan that beat us in softball was 39, if I'm not mistaken. If I didn't hear that wrong, it stood out.
Wow.
I think she was 39. How about that?
Why didn't we send Jenny Finch over there?
That's what I'm saying. We could have sent some of
our aces. Like, we got the B squad over there. No disrespect.
I'm pretty sure we were favored in softball. Came up a little short. USA, again, women 3-on-3 redeeming us. Congrats
all
involved.
You say Memphis because that Raven Saunders, she was in the shot put. And she also had a story on WMC dealing with mental health. It's an important issue that you brought up. By the way, I wanted to mention, I saw that weight of gold thing. That really, that video on HBO, it was out last year. It's got Michael Phelps in it. It describes it so succinctly what these athletes are dealing with. It's called Weight of Gold. Watch that, because everything Simone Biles is going through, you see it. I mean, you see it right there in that video.
This, I mean, it's a tremendous pressure.
Very, I mean, it's all for this moment, Jason. And you've think about it. We do this every day.
We do anything that compares even remotely to what they are going
through.
We get
another crack at this tomorrow and the next day.
And that's another reason to push through. What are you talking about? You're going to have another show tomorrow.
Yeah, we get to do this again.
And be worried about the one you did on Monday.
We're going to keep doing it, you know.
Or for a writer. You wrote one story, you're going to have to write another one. So push on. Yeah, that's what we do.
Right. This is tough.
In this situation, you pile everything you've got, every part of you, into this training and preparing for 4 years, in this case 5 years, and you get to this point, and what if you can't? We all say, okay, now walk through the door.
Right. Well, and the other thing is you've worked for four, and then they go, wait another year. Let train and keep up for another year.
But you're doing it without your usual support system. Right. And those folks aren't over there.
I understand it. I totally understand.
I would understand not understanding it, because they go through so much more. We didn't even talk about the Larry Nassar thing and how she's a survivor of that, and the last remaining survivor on the team, and what that represents.
It's just,
you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
We might not understand it because we don't go through it, but we absolutely shouldn't be criticizing it.
I agree with that.
We should be supporting it. That's just where I stand, and I think, frankly, it's common sense. It's the way we should be operating. We're going to talk a little common sense with John Martin. Talk about the news he's got over at the Daily Memphian. I got to get used to saying that. Memphis investing quite a sum, it appears, into the Liberty Bowl. Changes bigger than just suites, we're talking much more than that. We'll talk with him when we get back. Listen to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
John Martin is co-host of this very show, the J&J Show. Follow him on Twitter at JohnMartin929. As plugged in a man as there is on Memphis athletics. He showed you that, flexed his muscles a little bit today, even from paternity leave. That's how strong and plugged in this man is. He joins us now. We certainly appreciate it. John, you join us. You bring news. You bring news that we can read at the Daily Memphian, it appears.
Well, you can certainly listen to it here, 92.9 FM ESPN, and that's what I hope you would do. But the news is, and you and I went back and forth a little bit about this yesterday, which is that the University of Memphis is seeking, and the reason why I sort of say it like that is because we know the process is a little bit more complicated when you don't own your stadium, but the University of Memphis is seeking big-time renovations to the Liberty Bowl. Now, this is not something that they came up with yesterday. This is not something that they just started thinking about yesterday. This has been in the works for, you know, a year plus. I mean, this is something they've been thinking about doing for quite some time. But obviously, I think it behooves the University of Memphis to want to let everybody know that they have these plans, because we're in a time of great change. And I think for the University of Memphis, the stakes have never been higher. I know you're probably conference realignmented out over there because you've been talking about it for weeks on end. But the truth is, man, there are people who believe that it's now or never for the University of Memphis. And you got to go out, you got to empty the clip, for lack of a better term. And so I think that's kind of what they're trying to do here. I mean, this is going to cost $40 to $50 million. And while that might pale in comparison to, say, what Alabama does at Bryant-Denny when they do $500 million, renovations, this is going to be, I think, the most costly, the most expensive, the priciest project they've ever embarked on, for the University of Memphis. I mean, we're going to have to do a little inflation work, get our inflation calculator out, because in 2013 they did do $38 million of renovations. But $40 to $50 million, and if I'm being honest, I think that's like things so often do. You're renovating your house, you're renovating your kitchen, like it ends up costing more almost every time. You know, this is a major ambition for the University of Memphis, and I think it reinforces how committed they are to that program. If they don't get in to, another round of realignment, however it goes, I think one thing we can say is it will not be for lack of trying.
You point out that typically, since it's not owned by Memphis, it's owned by the city of Memphis, that typically it's been public funds, right, that have been used to, you point that out in your story, that have been used to do that $38 million worth of upgrades that you mentioned back in 2013. So straighten me out on this. Memphis, you said seeking. Memphis is seeking this 40 to 50. Are they expecting the city to foot the entire bill? Is it a joint effort? Like how in that plan that's not out yet, they haven't sought it yet, but what, I guess you said in your story 12 months they expect to send it. Are they pitching in here, or is this something they're expecting the city to take care of the entire bill?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the idea is to be a collaborative effort. I think that is yet to be decided of how much. I certainly don't think they expect the city to foot the entire bill at all. I think, in fact, they probably expect to foot the majority of it. It could be something where, it's a number of things. It's a fundraising thing for it's a capital. They've done capital campaigns over the years.
Yep.
I think this kind of looks a lot like that, to be honest. And I think they're hopeful that people. I think they're hopeful that people understand the implications of the time, right? That people understand both in the Memphis City Council and in the community that, the stakes for this university, the news, right, and the quickness that it all kind of came crashing down. Like you see the news of Texas and Oklahoma, and you're just like, man, look at the rich getting richer and. But the truth of the matter is that it does directly impact the future of the University of Memphis, because if you're not in, and again, we'll see, like there, maybe nothing happens. Maybe the Big 12 decides to stand pat. I've talked to a lot of people about this week. I mean, people are all over the place with what they expect. But if the Big 12 expands,
you think
you
this
have
helps?
To get in.
Yeah, we know you have,
you
to,
have
get in.
To get in.
Do you think this helps? I mean, I know that's what Memphis is hoping. Do you think it does, that the Big 12 looks at you and what they know about you already and what they should be taking into more account is what Memphis particularly has done with that football program, but they look and say, okay, we see what you're doing with the potential renovations, $40 to $50 million. We like that. Come on in. Do you think it's enough of a difference maker to be in that, you know, to have that kind of conversation?
I mean, it won't be this, right? It's not going to be, oh, well, we remember when you guys announced you're going to be doing, you know, major renovations to your Liberty, you know, to your stadium. It's not going to be, it's just going to be.
Can it help is what I'm asking.
I think it helps the bigger picture.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think it helps the bigger picture, right? Because you're trying to convey a sense of commitment. You're trying to convey a sense of, you know, we care about our facilities just as much as you know, the next school you're going to consider or whatever iteration this takes, right? It's not a for sure thing that the Big 12 will expand. I think they have, you know, there are orders of things they would like to have happen, and I don't think expanding is at the top, right? These last eight schools. But, you know, I think it does help the profile of Memphis, because I think what they have understood and come to realize over there in the last, you know, 4 years, that it's not, like, it doesn't matter. Your academics don't matter anymore. Like, that maybe your academic profile and things like that. And Memphis has made strides in that area. They certainly have. But it's not about that anymore. It's about the
John, you got that bad Germantown connection.
Let me try to reconnect.
Yeah, we're going to try. John, we're going to try to. It's kind of good. We're going to try to call you right back just to reestablish the connection. But
you,
no, get it that it's big picture. The question's going to be is there enough of a Big 12 left that's worth joining if you're a Memphis? It's worth wanting to be a part of if you're a Memphis? Or is it better, well, like we've said, to wait, see what the AAC is going to do? Are you going to be one that reaches out and tries to add to, and you have a better position at that point? This only hopefully helps you with that. You were talking bigger picture, John, before we lost you on the connection.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about, you know, academics, you know, in the way that it maybe once was.
Yes.
Yeah, it's about what it's really about, your bottom
how much
dollar
you invest.
Value. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what Memphis is trying to show, is like, this is not 2005, you know, in that sense. It is not, you know, when the Big East passed over Memphis, you know, in 2005, I think it was a lot of it was due to this perception that Memphis doesn't care about football and Memphis doesn't invest. And it was true. Like, Memphis didn't care about football. So I think their mission ever since then is to make sure that doesn't happen again, that at least that perception doesn't keep them out. I think they've more than accomplished that mission. I mean, they're one of the most consistent programs outside the Power Five in the last, you know, 6-7 years. They're coming off a freaking Cotton Bowl appearance 2 years ago. They won the conference for the first time. They had College Game Day in town, and I think that continues to have benefits for Memphis moving forward. And ESPN is, as we know, always at the heart of this thing.
Right.
So I think Memphis has – I think what I'm confident in saying, and this is not to, like, try to, you know, I'm not trying to, like, paint this picture of, like, it's going to happen, but what I do feel confident in saying is that Memphis is – in its best possible shape this time around. Because, you know, in 2016, the Big 12 didn't expand, and maybe it was never even going to.
Right.
But it was still too recent. You know, like, Mike Norvell hadn't even coached a game at Memphis yet. You know, I think you could talk yourself into, if you're, you know, if you're anti-Memphis, well, how can we even know that it'll still be successful after Justin Fuente? Well, now they're on the third coach after that. You had Justin, you had Mike, and now you got Ryan Silverfield. They won a bowl game last year, you know, so the success is sustained at this point. So I think you just have all that and all the moments, of course, that have happened between now and then. I think you have all that going for you. So I think if you're Memphis, you feel like whatever happens, you're in a good position. But as we know, you know, there are no guarantees in this part of the business.
Yeah, talking with John Martin, co-host of the Jason and John show. He'll be back first thing on Monday, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. We've all missed him. We'll enjoy him being back. He's still breaking news even when he's out on paternity leave. All right, last thing on Tigers football. I think the number was 8.5 that we saw on wins. Before I ask you about Grizzlies move on, and I asked Yonato this thing as well, I want you to weigh in. 8.5 wins, Memphis Tigers football over or under this season. We did it in an over or under.
I mean, I can't go over.
Hard to go over, isn't it?
I can't go over. I can't go over until I know, A, who the quarterback is, and B, how good he is.
The quarterback's going to be Gunnell. I can take that. I can take any, you know, drama out of that for you. It's going to be Gunnell. There ain't no question about that. Just heard Giannotto talk about how far ahead really he is than everybody else, it sounds like.
Well, and that's why they brought him in, right? I mean, but you know, I think we took Brady for granted in some ways, because though he wasn't this NFL prolific passer, are drastic. Like the guy was a surgeon at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you know? Commanded and, that thing. Absolutely.
And like that's you kind of can take that for granted. Yeah. I mean, guy had been in the system for his whole friggin' adult life, basically. And like that's a thing that you can't necessarily replicate, especially early on. I mean, Gunnell's probably, if I had to guess, going to have more arm talent and a better arm, and he'll be a better sort of pure passer than Brady White was. But will he have, like you said, more command or the same command? Will he, you know, will he have that trust with Silverfield? You know, will he have that trust with his teammates? I mean, these are all the questions that have to be answered. So, you could still win freaking 8 games and be under that, you know? I mean, 8 wins is a great year.
Right. That's kind of where we're
at. I mean, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. If, I mean, 7.5, okay, I'll go over that, you know? 8.5, I mean, as much as I believe in the program, and but they've got a lot of new guys coming in, transfers going out. Like, it could be bumpy, you know, to start the season. So, I think that's just why I would say. Plus, the AAC is going to be good next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be a tough freaking league. Cincinnati's going to be the same, you know. I mean, we got Gus Malzahn there at UCF. We'll see what he does. You know, so it's going to be a tougher league, and it usually always is tough. And so it's hard for me to say over. I have to take under on the 8.5.
No, we're all in the same place there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it that, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but 8-4 is still a freaking great year.
No, it is, especially in a year of transition, you know, no question about it. And usually you have those in your first year with a new coach, and Memphis didn't last year. They were able to sustain. A lot of that was having Brady White, as you point out. At some point, that transition was going to come. If you can get 8 wins in a transition year, that's doing pretty good, and that's kind of where we're all at. Brad, me, I think Giannotto even said right now we see 8, sort of can't get above that at this point. All right, since the last time we talked to you, which was on Friday, the Grizzlies have obviously made a huge move in addition to trading Jonas, of course, so we don't need to get into that. I think we're on the same page there. They've moved up from 17 to 10. There's been some scuttlebutt that they might move up even more. If they stay at 10, John, if it's too much of a price to pay, you've seen the reports that they've tried to call Cleveland, it's too much of a price, they can't move up to 3, and whatever Golden State wants at 7, they don't do. If they stay at 10, is there a guy you think they end up with? Is there a guy you feel pretty good about being there at 10 that you like other than Corey Kispert? Well, you know, you'll be devastated if it's not him. Doesn't sound like you will be, though.
I've emotionally moved on.
Okay,
from
good.
Him.
That's good to know. I didn't know if we were going to have to deal with that on Monday.
There's no point. There's no point.
Good for you.
In languishing over it because it's not
going to happen.
Man.
Okay, good.
You know,
glad we're there.
If you go back and listen, I don't remember when I was on with y'all. Was it Friday?
Yes, it was Friday.
If you go back and listen, I accidentally slipped in there that the Grizzlies were trading up to number 10.
Stop.
This is before it came out.
Did you? What do you mean you accidentally slipped it in there? You just slipped it in there?
Well, I wasn't trying to like say it, but like because I had heard it, but I say I can't remember how I said it. But I was like,
you had it before Bleacher Report, man.
Just check the tape, brother.
We'll do that in a break. Go back and check the tape.
The problem though with this question is I don't know who's going to be available. There.
I get it. You don't feel good. I mean, right. You don't think Moses Moody's going to. Going to be there
I
at 10?
I would like
we
Moses
know
Moody.
Book Knight's not going to be there at 10. He's going far
I
before
would like
that.
Moses Moody.
You would like. We all like Moses Moody. We all, to a man, even Giannotto liked Moses Moody. I wonder if Jeff Calkins liked Moses Moody. I think
he's a friggin', you know, super athletic wing and
long
you know,
arms,
got,
does it all right,
score.
Can shoot. 36%, I think, over his freshman season. 18 years
old,
right?
I saw one comparison to Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges, you know, not flashy, but he certainly made winning plays for that Suns team, you know, all the way up to the finals. So I like having a guy like him, different sort of body type than Dylan on the wing, you know, better defender, ideally, you know. I mean, I think it's, you know, to have Dylan and Moses on the wing, you know, at the same time, you're talking about two premier wing defenders in the NBA, which is like that's what you're going through every single night, you know, the best wing scorers in the world. So, and then if he ever turns into anything offensively, it's a bonus, you know. He's a young guy, got a chance to be a star in the league, obviously. So I'm all about guys like that. I mean, it's hard for me to sit up here and pound the table for a guy like Josh Giddey because I mean, have they even seen him? Were they allowed to travel to Australia this year with the pandemic?
I thought Toronto was the only team that went over. That's what I've heard, or Schmitz or Gavoni or somebody said that, that Toronto was the only one that actually went over there.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like, are you going to draft the dude you hadn't even, like, seen play in person? You know, I mean, maybe you saw him 2 years ago. I don't know. Like, that gives me the heebie-jeebies, to be honest. He might turn out to be an awesome basketball player.
And then,
but
go ahead.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm not very comfortable with the idea of drafting somebody that I haven't, you know, seen play an actual basketball game in person with my own eyes.
No, I'm fully with you. We don't like Giddy here either. Giddy, your tail on. Giddy, your ass on out of here. If you know what I mean.
Last thing
we got for you, because you're working. We've held you 20 minutes, and you got to get back to Riley. How much would you give up to move up to three? Is it everybody except Ja? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we've come to, you know, you want to keep, it's the idea of having Mobley and Jaren, maybe even a more natural four position. Okay, that sounds good. You saw the guy from Bleach Report had out that Memphis is making the calls to Cleveland. We've asked the question, what you would have to pay to move up there. What would you be willing to? Is it worth it to get up to three to get Mobley? Would you give up whatever you had to do it, save for Ja Morant? And potentially some others, what would you give up to do that? Is it that important to you? Is Mobley that good? You've loved Mobley.
I do love Mobley. I don't think he's, you know, worth trading up to three to get it. If you have to send away Jaren and Dylan and whatever. I mean, I'm not sure what the plan would be. Would Mobley be the pick there anyway? I mean, is that what we assume, that if it traded up to three?
Isn't it going? I mean, it's going. Yes, that they're very, at least that's from it, and it's the same guy who had. Now, he was a little late on this. Apparently, you were on the Bledsoe stuff before he was, but it's the same guy that put out the Bledsoe stuff, you know, over the weekend from Bleach Report. He's the one saying they made the call to Cleveland, and it's about, you know, trying to get up there to go get Mobley. And what I would say,
I feel like the Grizzlies have targeted like damn near every player.
It kind of does feel that way. And this would be going sort of right opposite direction of what we've all thought is their sort of almost stated plan that Jaren eventually will be the center. You know, I'd kind of be going back to a plan I like, which is, you know, kind of you know, banking on him being a good stretch four for you. But I don't know. I'm surprised. As high as you were on Mobley, I'm surprised you hadn't said, yes, trade everything. Trade Jaren to go get him. I've seen have said even do that. It's more the idea of having them both.
That wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you told me Jaren and two firsts.
The Golden State pick.
I think.
And then whatever else they want, you know, if they wanted something.
I would trade Jaren. There's a lot of people who are, like, still holding on to him.
You wouldn't believe it. We took calls. Maybe you would. We took calls yesterday, and just on Grizzlies in the trade.
They're with you.
And it was almost like half of the calls were like, man, get trade Jaren. Yeah. We don't believe in him anymore.
Because he hasn't done anything recently. You know, I mean, yeah. I think that that's the issue. Is like we operate sort of on what he could be, but like at some point, I'd like to see it. You know, yeah. I feel like we didn't have to wait for Ja. Again, different deal, I suppose, different position. But Ja made us aware from, like, the first game, you know. And we never had to question at any point in his career, all right, well, what's he going to be? I mean, we could talk about, is this three-point shot ever going to come around, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I feel like we're still operating in theories about Jaren. And you know, maybe someday he does turn into this, you know, 20 and – 10 guy that some people think he can be. I am betting against that.
Mm-hmm. Now you treating him like he's Justice Winslow now. Come on, man.
Oh, no,
y'all done went too far now. You didn't put him in that class. Like
Justice Winslow. Justice Winslow sucks. I'm sorry. Like he's broken.
Jaren's shown you more than that, right? But y'all, some of y'all starting to sound like that about Jaren. Like you're convinced now
it was just
a flash, like, and you're never going to get it again. Like you've put him
that
dude's motivated. He's only 21 years old. He was out with the money. He's going to be fine. Ja's going to lift him up. Everything will be. Would I trade him for Bradley Beal or maybe even I wouldn't trade him to go up to three. But would I trade him for Bradley? Heck yeah, I would. But still, I have some faith in John. You know, I wasn't there to start with when they first got him. It was only the way he played and what he showed.
Yeah.
It was what he played and what he showed when healthy that sort of brought me around on him. And I think I have more doubt sort of in the Grizzlies' plan for him, if it's indeed to be the five, than I actually do in Jaren. I actually think that just for Jaren individually, his development, I think he's going to be fine. Key to that, though, you're right. It all boils down to business. You got to be on the floor. But I think he's going to get there. The kid's still super young, and he's shown some flashes.
That's the whole thing, though. The issue is, like, if you ask people, what's Jaren's best quality? His age? I mean, really?
No, it's the fact that at that size he can. It's the fact that at that size he can shoot the way he does, as effectively as he does when he's playing. And on the other end, even as a guy who is in terms of IQ and defending, it's low. But he can, because of his physical tools, he can still get back block shots. So a guy that can shoot three block shots like that, John, when you put a little bit more experience, a few more games under his belt, you just feel like, right, and you get that confidence there. You stop hacking when you get frustrated. You feel like there's probably going to be a pretty good player there when he gets it all figured out. I just don't know that we've seen Jaren with it figured out yet. And again, when healthy, we've seen pretty good Jaren. You know, last year they didn't do any favors the way they brought him back, putting him on that second unit. That didn't help him. But I'm not gonna criticize you or any others or all the callers we have had yesterday for feeling where he's at right now. That it's prove it time. Like, you don't know. No, I haven't seen enough, and I have my doubts. If that's, he's got to prove that. That ain't on me to get to convince y'all. That's on Jaren. So no, you're right about that part of it. It's on him. Anyway, go ahead.
I think Grizzlies fans are in a space where they're tired of talking about what Jaren can do, and they're ready to talk about what Jaren does do.
Right, but you need to have the right plan for him too, and I thought last year's plan, at least the return of him, wasn't so good for him. Either way, I'm not here because I've been one of Jaren's biggest critics in terms of his rebound and all that stuff too. So I get the other side of it. I'm not here to tell you Jaren is the end all be all.
Yeah,
that's the issue. Oh, and they're gonna do it, John. They're gonna do it.
Look, this isn't, unless they trade him, you know.
Real quick, he only played 11 games last year, and he still averaged 14 points, and we're calling that, and I realize it was a down year, but it...
I remember Bubble Jaren was pretty darn good.
17-point average in 19-20, and Bubble looked great. I mean, he had four games in the playoffs and only 11 total last year.
I'll give him year four, but the issue is he's going to get the contract before he finishes year four.
Yeah, he is going to get it.
I mean, and so that's the whole thing. It's like, it's not my money. I mean, whatever. No. Grizz can do whatever the hell they want. It's not my money. But I don't think I would feel very good if I'm on the other end of that deal, given the fact that, you know, he can't stay on the floor.
Yeah, you put some injury provisions in there, right? Like what y'all did with Jonathan Isaac or whatever. You put some in, try to protect yourself as much as you can. Don't give him the full. You can do that, right? He's going to understand. You'll be able to get something along those lines done, right? To where you just don't have to max it. Protect yourself as best you can. You're right. But he's getting the money. He's getting big money either way, though, John. So you're going to have to deal with it.
I'm not married to Jaren, right? Like, I'm just like, if the Grizzlies, if they traded him tomorrow, you know, like, I would be like, okay, well, I'm sure they got, like, some pretty good value back for him. You know, like, I just, to me, Ja and Jaren, I know everybody talked about it, it's Ja and Jaren. Mm-hmm. To me, it's Ja, and then it's Jaren. It's not Ja and Jaren. It's Ja. Couple tears down, then Jaren. That's kind of how I look at it for the Memphis Grizzlies. I know everybody does not share that sentiment, but that's how I look at it.
Well, Jaren, you got work to do to make
that's
a believer
right.
out of John Martin and many others.
The fat head needs to come down until further notice,
I'm
because
not,
quite frankly, he does not deserve your wall at the moment. He doesn't.
Yeah.
Oof.
Wow.
The Grizzlies didn't deserve one either for the return and the way they handled that last year either. That was absolute mess.
Yeah.
That said, Jaren, it's a proven year. We're not taking you off the wall because we still believe. John Martin, we believe in you. Believe we're going to see you on Monday.
That's
Can't
right,
wait
baby. I'm back in the
to
building.
Hear them hot takes. It's been a long time, brother.
Amen.
Congrats on breaking this news, too, man. Nice, nice scoop here on Memphis here and what they're doing over there. John Martin, we appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, John.
He is John Martin. Yes, co-host of the J&J Show. We want to let him get back to Riley, his young daughter, his baby daughter, and doing all of that. He's been fantastic here, still working while taking care of baby. Had enough, was nice enough to come on. Talk about a little news. How about that, Brad? 40, 50 million going into the Liberty Bowl. Got a new press box and many other things in the works. At least that's what the plan sounds like it will be. You think it'll, you know, show off whoever it is that you want to come save you, Big 12 or some other conference? You think it'll be enough to say, hey, yeah, Memphis, come on in. You're welcome. We like that pretty new Liberty Bowl you got.
No, I think renovating.
You have to do this, though.
Renovating the historic Liberty Bowl.
We know what you want. You want on campus.
I want something new and special. That's what I want.
You're tired of renovating the old.
This story has, I've lived here
for
17 years.
You're tired of it being city-owned.
It's my favorite story every 2 years when we get a new locker room for $2 million in the Liberty Bowl, and when we get a new paint job on the Liberty Bowl, when we get a new press box. Every two or three years.
Well, we never get a new press box.
Same story that came out right before we thought we were going to another conference before. Like, as we renovated our ass off on the Liberty Bowl.
We put out these stories when it's realignment time. And
listen, it happens every damn time.
I got you.
All right? Like, my folks had a historic house. They tore its ass down and started and built a new one because it's a hell of a lot cheaper on the upkeep than it is to renovate the old one. And I just, this story to me, I'd love to take that $50 million and sock it into something special. But, I like the party deck. I'm excited about the party deck. They already got that thing done.
So party deck is going to be this new, didn't you break the party deck story a while back?
Well, that was when the XFL was coming out. Yeah, they had
the
XFL.
But the Tigers were going to use it too, though.
There was a discussion. Yeah, I said they're going, I actually think I did. Brad Carson broke party deck, and then I actually spoke to a representative from the University of Memphis. On Tuesday. I spoke to them, and they said that the XFL concept,
but the party deck,
you can see the renderings, the pictures of this are already coming out. Memphis actually, the university actually put a picture of this out, and it's got like right below the press deck where they've got that addition above, they've got like. This one actually looks better than the XFL one because the XFL one had it in the corners. I've also spoken to sources have told me that there are going to be seats available for like some standing room party seats in the very center bowl. They've never done this before, but my sources tell me that there's some bowl action going on this year where if you can literally buy a ticket and be on that AstroTurf this year. So mark it down here. You heard it from Brad Carson, Tiger source.
You're like the most plugged-in guy on Liberty Bowl out there. How'd you let John scoop you on this Liberty Bowl story?
He's plugged in more than I am. I don't report on this stuff. I'm just here.
Fantastic job by both of you guys. It's unfortunately, what you don't want to see is the investment be for nothing.
Yeah,
you need as much investment in the Liberty Bowl as you can. We could go back and forth. Yes, it'd be ideal if Memphis had its own. That is not the case right now. It's not a viable situation right now. You got to tell where you're going to put the thing. How much you spending on the.
By the way, I'm not trying to be a pessimist.
Stadium.
I know I sound like I'm a hater. I ain't hating. I want Memphis to win 10 games next year. I want them to renovate that stadium. I want it to look beautiful. I love the locker room. It just feels like we're going Hail Mary Big 12, and it's like, okay, you know, but it's a lot of effort for not a guarantee, man.
That's what I'm wondering, too, is what you're trying to get to. I mean,
where are you going?
If you're trying to make it look good and all that stuff to get into the Big 12, well, Big 12 might not even be there. So does this, you know. That said, that place has needed, and this sounds silly because it's the whole, well, screw what the media, that place has needed a press box for years and years. Like, that thing feels like it's about to fall
it's
over.
It's not Birmingham. It's better than Birmingham.
My point is there are some upgrades that have long been overdue that in 2021 you've just got to have. So that's needed whether you're trying to get to the Big 12 or not. But it goes back to that. Look how hard they're fighting. Look how hard Memphis has always had to fight to put out the perception. And it shouldn't have to just be putting out a perception because look behind the scenes. They have worked their tails off to put themselves in the position they're in. No, it's not like other places that have those on-campus facilities. It's different here. And you're involved in a partnership with the city that's always been part of the deal here. But you just, you know, you work and you work and you work and you try to show all these things off and show these other conferences that you're worth it and worthy, and you haven't gotten in. And that's the part. We talked about this when the news broke on Oklahoma and Texas. That was my biggest fear. Haves break off officially from the have-nots, and you are on the outside looking in. Look at Memphis, doing everything it can to be recognized and acknowledged, and the fear is just there that it will all be for naught.
I don't mean to bring up a sore subject, but I think in the 2000s, and I'm looking at Papa John's Stadium in Louisville.
Cawkins pretty much wrote a column saying the same thing, by the way.
Opened in 1998. It expanded. The big expansion was in 18, and so they've already had to expand it, and it's over $200, $300 million at this point. You had to, sometime in the early 2000s, just absolutely pull a Louisville, and you might have missed your window.
But you can't sit here and just hope either. You can't just sit here and say, hey, look, and not do anything. And that's why I keep going back to it's the ultimate respect burger of what they're trying to do. They're not. They're trying to be proactive.
Yeah. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.